You're listening to Band Geek with Richie Castellano on the Riotcast Network.
Hey guys, Richie here. This is Band Geek episode number 5, which is part 2 of the Danny Miranda Show. We do a lot of songs here. We do some rapid fire tunes, sort of a Danny Miranda, This Is Your Life. That's a lot of fun. We left on a cliffhanger last time with Danny telling us about how he developed his amazing ears and theory chops, and he goes into that and even more. So I hope you enjoy it. Before we get started, if you are in the Tacoma, Washington area on Saturday, and I believe that is, Saturday, June 28th, we will be at the Emerald Queen Casino, which is one of my favorite places to play. So come check out BOC at the Emerald Queen and enjoy the show. Thanks. I think out of all the musicians I've ever played with, you are probably in at least the top 5 of best ears I've ever of anybody I've ever met. And I'm going to sound like a conceited for a second. I think I have pretty good ears. I think you have better ears than me. And I want to know, like, how did you develop that? I mean, are you trained, like, in theory, or is it, you know, like?
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. You know, some people might say you're either born with it or you're not, but I believe you have to work at it. What I would do is, and one of the things my brother encouraged me to do, I had this little cheap organ, and I would listen to things on the radio, and I would find the melody. I don't care if it was Captain and Tennille or, you know, the Jackson 5, I would find the melody. Or, like, I'll tell you what, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, the Elton John version.
Right.
You know, I can't remember it. But that whole middle section with the solo. You know, I found those notes and I picked the solo out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what chords they are or whatever, but, you know, whether it's the melody to Love Will Keep Us Together,
right,
or something, it doesn't matter. You know, you had on top 40 radio and, you know, you picked out whatever you could and you found what it was. And then my brother would correct me and say, that is the notes, but that really isn't the bass part, you know, or
right,
that really isn't the melody. That's the keyboard player playing that or something. But I tried to find out what melodies I thought I was hearing.
Right.
There's a lot of traffic going on in music, you know, and a lot of it's deceiving. You know, like we're talking about Rush, and I was watching the 30th anniversary DVD, and I know the riff to Anthem. I never knew it was, oh, it's ADG. I didn't know.
Right.
You know? 30, you know, so sometimes what you're hearing isn't the whole picture,
right.
You know, so I try and, even to this day, if I hear something, I try and picture, okay, these two guys are singing harmonies, what if I had to play that on the guitar, how would I do that, and I'm driving, and I'm sitting in traffic on the Belt Parkway, and how would that work, not that it would sound good on the guitar, but where is the relationship, and you can actually physically see the movement.
Now, Jared, that's the same thing you do while you're sitting in the
That's
traffic.
Exactly what I do to figure out music. Yeah. I sit and I listen to it and I say, oh, that's what I should play. And that's exactly the same thing. Yeah, Danny's looking at me because he doesn't know that I don't know how to read music or play
No, I think that's awesome because I think you got the right idea. I mean, I do my practicing on my bicycle.
Can I tell you an honest story, actually? When I was auditioning for college and stuff like that, they said that I had very good ears. And I've said before that I do not know how to read music, but I can emulate sounds and I can emulate...
Well, that's a good segue, actually, because the next thing I was going to ask you is I think there are people born with wonderful ears. Like Jared, I think you have great ears, but I think then it's kind of up to you to learn what to do with them.
And you have to know how to communicate it, you know?
Right.
I'm not going to mention who it is, but there's one of my heroes, actually, who has amazing ears. But he'd be the type of guy to say, I love what you do with that bass part, you know, when you have the third against it. And he'll say, what the hell are you talking about? You know, he doesn't know what he's doing. No, he does know what he's doing, but he can't explain it.
I think music theory helps you arrive to that conclusion way faster. Like, because what music theory does in ear training is you kind of, you're familiarizing your brain with a tangible thing you can call, you know, these sounds. So, like, when I hear, like, I don't know if you feel the same way, because I'm very curious to know if you feel it's, like, when I hear, like, the Dorian scale, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think about it as, like, okay, let me sit there and figure out what notes, like, I hear it, I hear the person play, and it's like recognizing someone's face.
Right.
Like, if I see Andy's face and I know what makes up his face, like, that's the feeling I get when I hear the Dorian scale. And I knew what it was before someone taught me it was the Dorian scale.
You just didn't know what the name was.
Yeah, but when you know what it's called, you can use it on your own music. Right. You can use it when you're soloing or improvising, you know, or whatever.
Well, it's a multi-step process. You can hear a sound and then you know how to return that sound as like an echo, but then you're like, how, I don't know what to do with that information.
Right. Well, I mean, I saw it like with my brother's band, mm-hmm. and when they try like to communicate with the drummer, and he's not understanding, you know. And music is about communication,
right?
And it's not just what key is this in and how fast is it, you know. Sometimes you need to explain things in musical terms, and I think what a lot of people hide behind is, oh, I don't read music, I go by feel. That's bullshit, because Jimmy Page reads music, Steve Vai reads music, right. Richie Castellano reads music.
Poorly.
That's bullshit. You know, it's not one or the other.
Well, he said you third.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
right.
And you guys play with feeling, too. It's not one or the other. It's an easier way to communicate, you right. know? And I see it. I see the difficulty in some people who are geniuses,
right,
who can't tell you what it is they want because they can't speak that language.
It's frustrating.
And it's very frustrating. And that's when they start saying, play more yellow. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? It's bullshit.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're just trying to, I don't know what it is, you know? I just don't like it.
I mean,
that's not a fair response.
Right. I mean, there's this sort of weird division in musicians. And I mean, like, let's just throw all the cards on the table. I mean, like, in the 80s, everybody was super technical, and you had bands like
the GIT people,
yeah, and you had like Steve Vai, and then now you have the Berkeley people, and there's that, and then there's the guys that say, well, fuck that, you know what I mean? I just want to have a guitar and rock, and both ways are totally valid, right?
Yeah.
But there's a bit of a rub there, because like, I, as someone who's taught lessons, I don't think that it's cool to be ignorant about something.
No.
Especially something that's your job.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. If you want to be a professional musician, you should kind of know what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool, and you should be able to pick up an instrument and have fun and play, and that's fine. But, like, that shouldn't be a conscious thing. Like, oh, I'm not going to learn on this about
well,
this on purpose.
If you want to be, like, a specialty mechanic mm-hmm. that you only work on BMWs, then you should learn only BMWs. Mm-hmm. If you want to say, I love taking cars and fixing them, well, you better learn everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And one thing my brother told me, again, learn everything. Even if you don't like it now, you probably will.
Yeah.
Because my brother was listening to Frank Sinatra and Sly and the Family Stone in the same hour.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
I don't know if you feel like this. I mean, the older I get, the less I care about what I like. I mean, When I was like a teenager, it was like, I only want to play Yes and Emerson, Lake and Palmer. Everything else sucks. Now, like, someone says, hey, we have to do this country song, and then we're doing this Bob Marley song. It's all music to me. I don't really care anymore. It's like, my opinion's irrelevant. It's all I'm worried about is my ability to play it accurately. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, two things about Jaco. Of course, you know, he was, you know, one of the world's greatest bass players and all that. But he would have a thing like, okay, you know, Alfie, yeah. You know how to play it? Yeah, it's this. No. It's
right.
If you don't know the melody, you don't know the song.
Right.
And just saying, oh, I'm a bass player, that's not my job, that's not the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
And he can read. You know, he understands. If you say, Jocko, play off of the flat 13th there, he'll know what you're talking
right.
about. But if you say, lay it down and dirty like Bootsy, he also knows what you're talking about. But they asked him, they go, what bass players influence you on your melodies? And he goes, bass players? I get my phrasing from Frank Sinatra, who couldn't read a fucking note.
Right.
But, you know, when you listen to it now, listen to a remark you made or whatever, and you can picture Frank Sinatra singing it. Or listen to In the Wee Small Hours, and you're going, that's Jocko playing the bass. You know what I mean?
Right.
At the end of the day, you throw all that shit out the window.
Right. It's a means to get the sound you're
right.
looking for.
But you need to know what you're doing.
I mean, the other thing is, and I found this to be, I mean, being a guitar player, you're part of like a community, and there's this whole thing where I mean, like there's the blues guitar players and who play by feel, and that's great, and I have tremendous respect for that. I mean, Freddie King is like one of my idols, right? And then there's the super technical, like Petrucci type guys, right? And like the Petrucci type guys don't go and say, oh, Albert King sucks.
No.
They don't.
They write Dream Theater, that's his blues.
Yeah.
That's like, how he hears
it. But
his
then
music.
Like all the blues aficionados be like, oh, you know, Dream Theater, that's bullshit. That's no feel. I'm like, no, stop. I was like, just because you don't want to learn how to play 16th note triplets doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's something that I had to deal with because I used to play a lot of blues, and then I kind of found myself being more drawn to the shreddier stuff. Like, I liked Eddie Van Halen and I liked Yngwie Malmsteen, but everybody, like, there was such like a negative connotation because I did a lot of my formative years were in the 90s where it was not cool to be good at something. You know what I mean? It was not cool to be proficient at an instrument. Like, you know, Nirvana wrote some awesome songs, but they fucking destroyed, you know, the whole thing of you have to be proficient at something.
Or
the
guitar solo.
Yeah, their thing was no, this is all about, you know, emotion, and it's fine, and Nirvana's awesome, and their music's awesome, but I just got, being a guitar player who was learning and coming up in the 90s, I was like, man, this sucks. It's no longer cool to be good at something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I always felt like the blues guys, I said, you know what? Before you trash Petrucci, try to learn a Petrucci song. Like, it doesn't have to be a fast one. Learn a slow one.
Yeah.
You know
but on
I mean?
The other hand, there are a lot of people who go, you know, if they're not 50 chords in a song, then it isn't worth playing.
Yeah, it's,
you know?
It's all valid.
Oh, it's simple. Rock, that's easy.
Yeah.
Those are the people who can't play it, usually,
right.
because they don't get it. And it's easy to attack what you don't understand, you know. And I understand your point, but to defend the other side of it, it's true. You know, I mean, you know, I think Dave Grohl is an amazing drummer. I don't think Steve Gadd would sound good playing in Nirvana, and vice versa. Does that mean Dave Grohl's better than Steve Gadd? No.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lot more knowledgeable, but there are things that Dave Grohl can do that no drummer like him can do.
Right.
And it wouldn't sound right. But then again, Dave Grohl's the kind of guy that can probably talk about Sarah Vaughan in the same sentences as The Clash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's a music lover.
I think
and he
you
understands
have to,
music.
I think you have to like respect everything and kind of figure out what... I mean, you know what? I was in the car once with... you know who Ron Thal is? Bumblefoot? I was in the car with him
once.
Is
that the guy with the bucket on his head?
No. That's Buckethead.
I always get hungry for chicken when I think about it.
Ron replaced Buckethead in Guns N' Roses.
Oh, really?
But I was in the car with him, and I was just like so into him and what he was doing, like the progressive, like Zappa-esque, shreddy stuff, you know. And I remember he put on like the Latin channel, and he goes, tell me what you hear. And like, I don't understand. And he had like a kung fu master moment with me. He's like, what do you hear, grasshopper? And I was like, I don't know, piano. He goes, if you had to make one of these, if you had to produce one of these songs right now, would you know how to do it? I'm like, no. He goes, well, you should listen to music like that and try to figure out what makes it tick. And that's what, I mean, you should listen to everything. Like, when you listen to, you know, B.B. King, you should try to figure out what he's doing. If you're listening to, you know, Frank Zappa, try to figure out what he's doing. You know, if you're a musician and you're pursuing this professionally, you should know about a bunch of stuff, you know? And if you're just a hobbyist or, you know, or you're a rock star and you
can get away with playing the same 50 songs, then great, you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. But if you're a pro musician and you want to, you know, learn, you want to do this for a living, you really need to learn how things tick, you know, what makes different styles of music tick.
That's anything artistic, though, yeah. Because like when I was growing up, I was like with comedy and stuff like that too, it was just like I enjoy laughing and then I just wanted to absorb everything. So I watched everything that my parents grew up with. I watched everything, you know, that I was growing up with. I just wanted it all in my brain.
Yeah.
And then once I had all the information I wanted, then you figure out
what makes this funny.
Yeah. Why is this funny? Why is this working? Why is, you know, this person have to work blue and this person works squeaky clean and they get the same results? It's it's a similar.
We don't. I don't think we should, like, when I grew up was different. Like a lot of people like me had parents with a wider age gap that was a completely different generation. And the object back then was you obviously couldn't like your parents' music. And part of the reason is because they hated your music. They thought it was bullshit. Nowadays, you know, you're bringing your kid to a Blois cult show.
Right.
And, you know, you're giving your Beatles collection to your kid. That didn't happen in my day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what I mean? My parents were listening to Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett and all that. And when you're trying to find your identity and you're fighting because, and you know, by the way, we were right. The hippies and the derelicts and all that, we were right. That music was great. We said it. Nobody believed us. They said the Beatles, they said rock and roll, it's going to be gone in a few years. Fuck you. Yeah. It changed the world. Yeah. You know what I mean? We were right. Everybody was wrong. And because don't listen to long-haired hippies who drop out and smoke pot and do all that shit, you know. But you know what? We were right and they were wrong. But to be fair, in response, we said, well, your music sucks. Your music is old. Now I love Frank Sinatra like I love the Police. You know, it comes around.
Let's do some Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, in, Frank Sinatra? In the style of the Police.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Let me get my guitar here.
Yeah.
What?
Don't ever doubt a hippie. Well, unless you're that
well,
guy.
Well, I'm setting up. Because we, who did you? Did your brother teach you all the theory? Because you know theory stuff.
I mean, he turned me on to a lot of it, but I learned a lot of it in college and high. I had the same teachers in high school that my brother did, and I learned a lot.
Did you go to music college?
I did for a little while.
Where'd you go?
Nassau Community, but I learned more in high school from those teachers. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about theory. Those are the people who, you know, helped shape my brother.
Yeah.
And they probably said, man, this is a real step down from his own. But when I did show up, I learned a lot. And you know what? I didn't do good in the piano minor courses because I was into Genesis. No, you can't have the third in the bass and the third in the melody. That's a cardinal rule. I'm like, right. Fuck you. Phil Collins does it, you know? But I learned a lot about how the ears work, and you know.
You want to try Fly Me to the Moon?
Yeah.
On a Rickenbacker.
It's going to sound like
in
Rush.
In the style of the Police.
In the style of the Police? Okay, in the style of the Police.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what's playing like Jupiter and Mars. Yo, in other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let it play forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore.
Was that to your liking?
Rape of the Culture.
Please, Metro.
That's really cool.
Fly me to the moon.
Well, let me ask you. How did you get all? Did you get all the stuff from your dad? How did you learn?
Because
you couldn't have waited till college to learn. You know, you had to have been great back then.
No, I was a terrible guitar student, and I remember my Musk's gonna love this story.
I know this story.
My grandmother, I took guitar lessons when I was 8. Well, here's what happened. I told my dad, I think I want to play guitar. I saw La Bamba. You know the movie La Bamba?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I want to play guitar. This is the coolest thing. My dad's like, really? I've been playing guitar your whole life. I'm doing gigs. I'm your dad. It takes watching a movie about a dead guy, you know, to want to play guitar. So anyway, so I was like, yeah, I want to play guitar. He goes, okay, here's an E chord. And I go, and I said, okay, I pick up the guitar. I'm like, he goes, no, here's an E chord. And I go, he goes, okay, we're getting you a teacher. he tried teaching me for like 2 seconds.
It's like when my father tried to teach me how to drive.
Yeah. He's like, yep, that's enough of that. You will get you a teacher now. I took guitar lessons. I had a guy come to my house to teach me, and I was fucking horrible. I was the worst guitar player ever. And I remember I wouldn't practice, and I was fat and lazy, and I remember my grandma telling me, he never practices. You're never going to be on Star Search if you don't practice guitar.
That's great.
That's the dream, isn't it?
So he goes, you know, all these children are on Star Search, and I bet they practice, and you never. So I think I actually got good at the guitar to prove Grandma Jean wrong. So she like really inspired me. My non-musical grandmother. Every one of my relatives has some sort of music. Even my grandfather on that side had like was like a good dancer. My grandma had no interest in music, but she knew I sucked. And now, she knew enough to know I was bad.
But now she's seen you play with Blue Oyster Cult.
And she knows I'll never be on Star Search. She knows, right? You'll never be on Star Search playing that Godzilla.
Did you play La Bamba in the sixth grade to spite Grandma Jean?
I did.
Is that what it was?
My dad, I just played chords and stuff, and my dad one day, I was playing like an Elvis song or something.
One through a party in the county jail. Here's the band was there and they began to wail. Band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard us knock down jailbirds and sing, let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Everybody in the wholesale block was dancing to the jailhouse.
So then there was a solo, and I said, Dad, I want to do this song at school. Can you come with me and play the solo? And he was like, I can't, you know, I gotta go to work. But he goes, you could play the solo. I'm like, no, I just play chords. He goes, well, let me show you something. And he did this. He taught me that, and that changed my life. I became an asshole lead guitar player at that moment. That is the minor pentatonic scale.
That's his fault.
And I was, after that, I said, screw rhythm guitar. I'm a lead guitar player now. I'm a soloist, right? And that was it. And that's when, that was like the decline of my musicianship.
Let's hear it. One, two, three.
So there's the pentatonic scale, a little kind of.
Yeah.
I don't think any guitar player can actually play the pure pentatonic scale. We always have to screw it up with some other notes. But yeah, so once I really became interested with the lead guitar, that's when I wanted to learn more. I'm like, hey, but you know, for example, Eric Clapton doesn't pull it. When Eric Clapton goes like this, I said that note's not in the pentatonic scale. What's that? And then he said, oh, well, that's the sixth, right? So I had to like, then I started picking it up and I got a guitar teacher, this guy, Mike DeCampo, who we should definitely have on the show, by the way.
Yes, definitely.
And he started teaching me a lot of theory. And the moment it really clicked for me was when me and Andy were in a band and my teacher, Mike DeCampo, was trying to show me intervals, right? Intervals, how would you describe intervals?
I don't know.
It's the distance between two notes.
Okay, yeah. So after all this shit about Danny talking about how you need to know music theory.
I don't know.
So he, so intervals, I was learning it and I wasn't understanding why I needed to know it. I was like, I can hear stuff I can figure out on the guitar.
Right.
And then I wrote a song. I was in math class and I had this idea for a song that for Andy and my our band. We had a band and I had an idea for a song. And I said, shit, I don't have a guitar around. I'm going to forget this idea. I can't, like, you know, I can't record anything. It's 1997. You know what I mean? There's nothing to record. There's no phone. So I took out, and I was supposed to be doing math. This is probably why my math scores were so horrible. But I opened up my book from my teacher, and I saw all the intervals, and I kind of sung the song to myself. And I said, okay, that's a fifth, and that's a fourth away from that. So this note has to be E, and then this note has to be B, and there has to be another E. So I wrote down the letters just in my head, and then when I had a free period, I picked up a guitar, and it was something like that, right? Yeah. And I said, oh shit, I did it in my head without needing the book, and that's when I realized, okay, I have to get good at this, because if I could do music without a guitar, that's awesome. Right. If I could learn songs without a guitar, if anytime I have an idea, I could just write the idea down, that is an invaluable skill. Right. So that's when I got it, and I, you know, got into the deeper shit in college, like all the modes and all that other crazy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's what actually it saves time. I mean, yeah. I was at somebody's house before a gig last night, mm-hmm. and can you learn this song? And they put it on, and I got a piece of paper, and I'm writing it out in real time.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, there were some people, oh, man, I don't have 6 hours to figure it out. Well, if you would have not been a lazy bastard when you were younger, you didn't need the 6 hours. Quite, because what I'm doing is no stroke of genius. You know, just do the fucking work. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm riding my bike and I'm figuring out these songs.
Right.
And it's not because I'm brilliant, because I'm an idiot. It's just that you do the work, figure it out. I walked around high school with a pitch pipe. You hear a song. I think that's an E. No, I'm wrong. Oh, all right. I was a half step off. You get that in your head.
Right.
You hear that song. That sounds like an F. And what really threw me off is a lot of rock and roll back then was tuned down a half step.
Oh, yeah.
So what is a Kiss song that's an E is really E flat or Black Sabbath. So you got to be careful with that. Van Halen.
Right, because sometimes
like,
you could hear the chord on the guitar and you hear, oh, that's the open string, so that's the E. But
you
got to
hear that C chord. How it rings out. They have vibrations.
Right.
And you need to hear that. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm always right, unless you're figuring out like some Paganini thing. If you're figuring out a Rascal song or whatever, there's no reason why you can't say, oh, that's a C chord. You may have to rewind it and all that, but you shouldn't have to go to a crutch like a guitar to find the note. You find the note in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You play it on the instrument. It's got to come from your head.
Right.
And that's the problem with a lot of people. They have no ears, and they play. They know what notes are correct and what notes are incorrect, and they play it through the guitar, but they're not playing through the heart and their balls.
I want to interject something here. Now, because I taught lessons, if you're the kind of guy who just plays for fun and you're in your living room messing around a guitar, that's fine. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with not knowing this stuff. If you know whatever the 10 songs you want to play, great. We're talking about if you're going to go play gigs with people. If you want to make a living doing this. Now, we've also had this discussion because, I mean, you especially, you've gotten to play with a lot of famous guitar players, you know what I mean? Or musicians, I should say. And a lot of those guys, like we say, like, for example, like, we'll do a Red Lion gig. Red Lion's a club in Manhattan that Danny, Andy, and I would play at a lot. Before they got mad at us, stopped having us there. But you know, we would do songs and people would yell songs out to us and we would just play them. And then after the gig, we'd say, you know what? Even though this is like a silly gig, we're making $100 or whatever. I don't know if Eddie Van Halen would be able to do this gig.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
I mean, like, that's the thing, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, you know. I mean, back then, people who had careers were in one band and one band only.
Right.
Now, even if you're in a big band, they don't work enough to do it all the time. Everybody's playing with a bunch of different things,
mm-hmm.
which was just fine by me because I would play in a wedding band and play a jazz gig or play a blues gig or play a metal gig.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go out, you know, with a rock band like Blue Oyster Cult or Meatloaf and come back and do an acoustic gig and play James Taylor tunes
because
I like to sing those songs. And, you know, and you go all over. Part of it is because you have no choice. You know, you can't, even if you're playing guitar for Ozzy Osbourne, he may take 2 years off. What are you going to do?
Right.
You might wind up playing guitar for Joan Osborne. Right, you know what I mean? Oh, wow, that was cool.
That was a good joke.
How do I do that? By the way, you know, they're not brother and sister.
They're not.
No. I know everything.
Even Dave Grohl plays with like four bands.
He's Stevie Nicks and he plays with Lemmy. because he wants to and he can.
There you go.
And so, if, you know, and he went out of his way to learn all that shit too.
Who out of all the people you've played with, who is you, would you say like the your biggest hero is that you got to play with, like from
Richie Castellano?
You dick.
I take it back. I retract.
The Band Geek podcast is brought to you by Lip Service.
Yes. Hold on, let me get my head out of your ass. Why did I say that? Can you edit that out?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, sure. I don't know.
That's the edit.
I don't know. You know, I have to mention these two people, and they're not famous, but when I moved to Las Vegas to do We Will Rock You, I never did theater before, and it was kind of a cluster. You know, most of the people who play in those pit bands come from the theater,
mm-hmm.
and a few of us were from the rock world, and you know, it was kind of like the Sharks and the Jets in a way, where we, you know, you had these theater musicians who had very successful careers in Broadway.
You just used a musical theater analogy to describe the difference between musical theater and rock people.
Yeah, but you know, anyway, we figured, well, it will probably be good, but it's not going to be a band. It's not going to be a gang. And as it turned out, it was. And Keith Thompson, these two people I need to mention, Keith Thompson and Philip Fortenberry, are theater people, and they're both from the South. And it's funny, if you grow up in the South and you play piano, Professor Longhair, Greg Allman, Booker T, and Keith Thompson, you all grew up in the church. Mm-hmm. You all play the same songs, and you all play the same. Dr. John, you know, whether you wind up playing Stephen Sondheim songs on Broadway or Elton John songs or you're in a rock and roll band, playing Little Richard stuff, who also came from the church. I realize it's the same thing. And I've learned more from those guys. And these are the people who probably didn't even have a Led Zeppelin record.
Mm-hmm.
They went out of their way to dissect and learn this Queen music, not good enough to play it only, but as if they've been playing this their whole life. And they did it as good or better than us who have been playing rock and roll our whole lives. And I'm going, a year before this, they didn't have a clue what this music was, and they mastered it.
Wow.
And I learned as much from those guys as I've learned from my brother or Brian May or Buck Dahmer or anybody. They're mentors of mine, and they made me a better musician. And that's the last thing I expected by, you know, going into a pit band in Las Vegas. I thought I'd probably wind up being a worse musician at the end of it. And it was the opposite, thanks to those two guys. So that's a long answer to a short question. Nobody might not ever hear of them. But, you know, Phil's got these rock and roll eighth notes on his left hand, and I'm going, but you listen to Liberace. It doesn't make sense. You know, and very humbling.
That comes back to what we were talking about before. Even though these guys didn't grow up in that tradition, they respected the music enough to learn the right way to do it.
Right. And also, Keith was the conductor. Mm-hmm. And I saw We Will Rock You in Cologne, in London. I forgot where else. And first of all, we were the only band that played without a click, because it does go by feel. That music's got too many tempo changes to mm-hmm. really feel good. And even Brian admitted, night and day, worlds away, that band was better than any other We Will Rock You band in the world. Mm. And it's not because we had John Michelli on drums or me on bass or Paul Crook on guitar. It was because of Keith Thompson. Because I heard that band with subs for myself, for John, for everybody. And I know we were a great rhythm section.
No, it's okay. You can say that because it's true.
It is true.
Yeah.
And I don't give a shit. It is true. We're great. And we worked our ass off at it. But it's because of Keith. It's because of Keith Thompson. He found the heartbeat of that music. And he found a way to conduct it and not make it sound like some watered down, Kinky Boots bullshit version of what rock and roll is. He made it proper. And he didn't even come from that world. And how he can do that is the sign of a master musician. And he's one of my heroes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have absolutely nothing in common except we drink wine. You know what I mean? Nothing in common musically, you know, our record collections are oil and water. So
can I put you guys on the spot? Do you guys want to do like Stone Cold Crazy or something like that to
do
wrap
a Queen
it up?
Song?
Yeah.
You know what? I might break this show into two shows.
You should. Yeah.
Why not?
Let's, you know, and because they, you know, like they on other shows, I hear they put a break
well,
in the
that's
middle.
Long enough.
So let's do that.
Okay.
Okay. Now you've had a really. I know I haven't even mentioned this, and I'm being a bad host, but you started off in Blue Oyster Cult. That was your first national touring act, correct?
Yep.
Who got you in that band? Who got you that audition?
John Michelli.
Michelli, okay. And then you did the We Will Rock You.
John Michelli.
John Michelli. And then you did Queen.
John Michelli.
And now you're in Meatloaf with
John Michelli.
How come we don't have John Michelli on this set?
Now do you blow him or something?
That's really none of your business.
Well, you know, we're gonna have to go to Michelli's house and record one of these.
I gotta even the score with him. I gotta buy him a cannoli or something.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah. That'll do it. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't know who John Michelli is, look him up. He's
in prison now.
No, John is one of the best drummers on the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, he actually recorded some stuff. We recorded some stuff together that we haven't released. He recorded a song of mine, a song of Danny's, and a song of Anne-Marie's, and none of them are done.
Yeah, no, really, really cool stuff. And
he's, you know,
he's been a great friend, and he's been in my corner for a long time.
Let me tell you, I'm gonna just, I know I'm rambling, but
right.
Where I did a gig called the Symphonic Music of Queen. And John Michelli got me that gig.
Fuck John Michelli.
Sorry, Danny
got you that gig.
Yeah. It was John Michelli. John Michelli, I love him 2 seconds ago. And now it's fuck John Michelli. Nice. So anyway, I'm sorry. Danny got me that gig. And we did like the first, you know, chord of the overture for this thing. And I hit the chord and I never felt the amount of balls behind me than I did with those two guys.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah, like we hit like the one, like the, you know, and all of a sudden, like the way they just hit a whole note is like, it's like a religious experience.
that's the Jumanji on that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it is. Like, I kind of like want to record them and look at it in Pro Tools. Like, okay, I see he's coming in, you know, milliseconds after the kick drum. And the kick drum is this long. And I want to, like, analyze it like that. But there's just something magical about the two of them playing together. And it's no wonder that Meatloaf has you guys in his rhythm section. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's great that we're playing to a click track now. We don't need a click track. The best click track is John Michelli. Mm. We don't need a click track, but we have one.
So let's do a little Danny Miranda, This Is Your Life.
Okay.
And
who's walking in the door now?
Okay, let's start with a Blue Oyster Cult song, or maybe a partial Blue Oyster Cult song. What was your favorite Blue Oyster Cult song to play when you were in the band? That I probably can't play or sing.
Well, besides the Reaper really is, I mean, well, not only because it's the most popular song, it's really a beautiful story, and it's a great song. I really loved Flaming Telepaths a lot. And I got to mention one more.
What?
Fuck. What is it?
I don't know that one.
You don't know Flaming Telepaths?
Damn it.
No.
Damn it. I really, really, really love Flaming Telepaths. And Take Me Away.
Take Me Away.
There's another good one. Aldo Nova wrote that, right?
Well, let me see if I can grab the lyrics to Flaming Telepaths.
Really, really, really love playing Flaming Telepaths. And Stairway to the Stars, great song.
All right. Flaming Telepaths lyrics. Flaming Telepaths is just basically...
Okay.
Yeah, it's like... It doesn't really move too much. Actually, I can overdub the keyboards on this because I only know how to play Blue Oyster Cult songs on keyboard and Bohemian Rhapsody. Those are the two songs I can play, things I can play on keyboard.
It's an incredibly exciting song. It's a great.
Oh, an ABC.
ABC.
Could you put this up a little bit?
Sure.
I can't really hear anything I'm saying. Does anybody hear anything I'm saying?
I can hear you.
Yeah, I can. Hey, listen. I gotta wrap it up pretty soon.
Check
I
one, two.
See Emmy Lou Harris. I don't normally play electric music, folks.
Actually, I'm playing
Cuban
a gig
music and acoustic music.
I'm playing a gig with your predecessor tonight.
Who, Bon Jovi?
No, John Rogers.
Oh, that's right. You told me. Awesome.
Okay, so let's do a little bit of this, like maybe a verse chorus. It starts off with this crazy feel, like.
Let's just come in. Yeah, let's just come in.
It's like.
All right.
and the joke's on you. Experiments that failed too many times, transformations that were too hard to find. Poisons in my bloodstream, poisons in my pride. I'm after rebellion, I'll settle for lies, I'll settle for lies. Yes, I know the secrets of the what the fuck does that mean? Let's hear the secrets of the circuitry, man.
It was a really good hash back then.
You know, I'm surprised I knew what little lyrics I did, because I haven't played it in over 10 years. But I got to tell you a funny story. I'm not, you know this, I'm the, unless it's The Police or Kiss, I don't know any lyrics, and I sing whatever I want. And I was in the band a couple of months, and I used to ride with Donald. We used to rent cars and ride. And he's driving, he's casually saying, I say, how long have you been in the band? Like, oh, 6 months. You liking it? You having fun? Yeah.
I know the story.
Yeah. You enjoying it? Yeah. He goes, you like all the songs? Yeah. You like your bass solo? We give you a good bass solo in Godzilla. I love it. You like singing it, right? He goes, learn the fucking lyrics! I go, what are you talking about? He taped a show, and he's trying to get, he can't get the vocals to cut. He doesn't know what it is. And he starts singling out vocals, and he starts this bullshit. I'm just mumbling in the mic. He goes, learn the fucking words. Do me a favor, you know? Okay.
I did a gig with you, and we. And I want to do this song right now just to hear what you sing. I did a gig with you, and you'd sing harmony with me, and I'm gonna sing the. I don't know the words either, but I'm gonna do the song, and I want to hear you sing background vocals with
what
me.
What is it? Come on.
We did this song at a gig, and you sang some shit. I don't know what you're saying. Here we go, right?
I close my eyes only for a moment, and the moment's gone. Dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Same old song. Just a drop of water in an endless sea. Oh, oh, oh.
Go Godzilla, fuck you all.
I don't know the words either.
That is great.
And you know what's really funny? I did a gig at the Lion once with this guy Carey, and you know that song Stay Tonight, Stay
yeah.
Tonight.
Yeah.
You know, and we had just learned.
Stay
tonight. Tonight. Na, 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 na. So I learned the harmony, and you're like, stay tonight, before the break of dawn comes
tomorrow.
And I'm going, after the song, I'm going, man, Carey, that was awesome. He goes, you sang the wrong words. I go, no, I didn't. It sounded awesome. He goes, no, I gave up. I started singing your words. He goes, I'm tired of fighting. So I feel, let me just sing what he's singing.
All right, let's do a Queen thing. What Queen song would you like to play? If I know it, I'll play it.
It's late. Oh, well, no, it's only 6 o'clock. Let's see. Get it?
Yeah, it's late as a Queen song.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember.
You want to do Crazy Little Thing? Want to do a little bit of that?
Yeah, that's cool.
Don't Go Crazy.
Done by Rush. Everything sounds like Rush.
Do you know Don't Go Crazy?
No. Can we do Crazy? I don't care. You want to do Crazy Little Thing?
Let's do a little bit of Crazy Little Thing called Love.
We need everybody to sing.
All right? Well, just do a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
This thing I call love, I can't handle it. This thing I call love, I must get around to it. I am ready. Crazy little thing called love. Go back up on those. Oh, this thing called love,
called love.
It cries
like a baby
in a cradle all night. It swings,
yeah.
It tries, shakes all over like a jelly. In a cool, cool sweat. I gotta be cool, relax, I get hip, I get off my tracks, get the back seat. What words are you singing? You were in this band. I need to celebrate. Crazy little thing called love.
Place to stop.
That's cool.
Oh, I was getting my snaps ready.
That's cool.
I never sang that song, and so I'm not responsible.
Okay, fine. Let's do, I guess we have to do a Meatloaf song now.
Okay.
See. Hey, Jared, you're gonna be the chick.
Oh, God.
Well, I remember every little thing as if it happened only yesterday.
Shuffles.
Well, let's do one more tune to wrap it up, and this is one that was a Facebook request. Can you please play A eighth notes for me?
One, two, three, four.
Facebook request! Facebook request! Facebook request!
Yeah! All right, I'm gonna try to sing this.
What is it?
Let's do Funk 49. And who was this requested by?
This was requested by John Anderson and Rose Izzo.
Okay. I don't know if I can sing this, but I'll do my best.
Jumping up, falling down.
Maybe I'll do it a different key.
Uh-oh. You're going to get a Danny Miranda look when you say that.
No, I'm thinking of the bass part. I got my own problems here.
All right, let me stand up for this.
Did I mention the Staten Island Expressway? I'm about to go. How long do you think it's going to take to drive to the Brooklyn Academy Music?
Do you want to stop now?
No, I'm just. How long do you think it takes to get to the Brooklyn Academy Music from here?
To Bam's like 4th and something?
Yeah, it's like Brooklyn Heights.
Hour, maybe?
An hour? Oh, that's cool.
Maybe less.
That's going cool. Back in, it shouldn't be too bad.
I'm going to see Emmy Lou Harris tonight. It's the anniversary, I don't know if it's 10th or 20th anniversary of the Wrecking Ball record, which is an amazing record.
By, and by Miley Cyrus? With,
yes. No. This is Emmy Lou Harris. This is Americana royalty. And I've never been to the Brooklyn Academy of Music, and it's my mom went when she 500 years ago.
She's an attractive older lady, Emmy Lou Harris.
Oh, she's hot.
She's really hot.
She's like Angie Dickens. She's going to be 150. I'll still want to.
Wow.
Anyway,
want to shake hands with her?
Want to shake her hand? But she's really an amazing voice, and that Wrecking Ball is. Any of you out there who aren't familiar with it, go and get it because it's as good as anything you'll ever hear. It's amazing, and it's her at her best, and an amazing band and great songs, and that's it.
All right.
And no electric guitars, I think. You don't need them anymore.
Let me see if I can sing this. Yeah, I'll be fine. I don't have to sing tonight.
This is the James Gang. Exactly what the Joe James Gang said. And
thank you.
I'd like to thank our guest, Danny Miranda, our first celebrity guest. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
That's great to be
this
here.
Was freaking awesome. You play amazing as always. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, boys.
I'm Richie Castellano. I'm here with Jared Pressman, Andy Ascalise, Brandy Metaxas, and before my wife, Anne-Marie Castellano, was here. Thank you for listening to the Band Geek Podcast. Man, Danny, thank you so much. That was awesome.
Yes, listen to Cuban music, everyone.